wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship time this morning. We are excited that you all are here. So fantastic to see a full congregation. I know we have our children that will lead us in worship and some songs this morning and the program this tonight at 7 o'clock. But I do want to welcome everybody, especially any guests that are with us. If you are a guest and have never filled out a guest card, we would love to have that record of you being here. The way to do that is to fill one of the guest cards out that are located in the pew in front of you and to place that in the offering plate so we can have a record of you being with us. I do want to go over just a few announcements. Some are in your bulletin. Need a little clarification. Some are brand new, just so we're aware of a few things before we begin our worship service. I've already mentioned our children's program tonight at 7 p.m. The children know that they are practicing this afternoon as well. Also, next week we'll have our joint Sunday school lesson together. After you meet in your classes, you'll come in here after you take enroll and turn that in like we did for our first time together when we have been doing this study. It's our last week doing the discipleship study that we've been a part of. We'll meet in here to close out that study. So if you can, please be here for that. If you will be in town, this is a very important time to be here. There'll be a short little survey that'll be taken during that time period. The papers that you got this morning are not surveys. They are for personal evaluation on how you have been benefiting and growing as a disciple during this study together, not to be turned in. They're for your own personal benefit and in preparation for next week as well. I do want to commend our Baptist men and youth. Yesterday worked diligently. If you haven't driven around the back to see how the church garden has come together, a phenomenal job. So many youth and different leaders went into helping this. I do have to recognize Russell Marks in the way that he led the building of so many different things. There were a lot of other leaders as well, but it was just amazing to see how all that came together. I know a lot of hard work went into that, and it shows because I think it just looks wonderful. There's still a few little things that will be fine-tuned, but overall a tremendous time coming together. And also about the youth, we have in the bulletin mission trip donations. Any and all clothing and non-perishable foods can also be donated, kept in the room that we collected last year. I know the bulletin specifies several other options as well, but we're able to extend that ministry to clothing and non-perishable food, which we know from our Baptist men going last fall will be used mightily. So we can collect that up to May 18th before we leave on June 18th before we leave on June 21st. I know that's a lot to soak in. If you look at the bulletin, there's several other things that God is at work through and in. So make sure you're aware of that. Look and read at all God is a part of, or all we need to be a part of, in the ministry here at Flat Springs. So take time to look over your bulletin. Are there any other announcements we have before we begin our worship service? No? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer this morning as we start. God, we are excited to be here together, gathered together as your church. Lord, bless us with your presence and your Holy Spirit moving inside us to mold and change us into your Son's image. Lord, we want to walk away from here different and energized to continue to be your Son's disciples this week through word and deed. We pray in his name, amen. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you, Angel Choir. We're looking forward to your program tonight. We'd like to turn in our hymnal to page 46, two verses of All Things Bright and Beautiful. And then after those two verses, skip back to page 45, Everything Was Made by God. Let's all stand. Page 46 and 45.
Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day and for the children that are here to sing. Please be with all those that are on our prayer list and be with them in only the way that you can. Please bless the offerings that you, and tithes that you are blessing this church with and use them to further your kingdom. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
And good morning again. So good to see all of you sitting down here. I love this. I love being able to see all of you sit down here, and I love how some of you even got closer. I like that a lot. So you're like, I can see you, you can see me. Might have to keep this up here, right? Well, I loved hearing you sing, the angel choir sing this morning, Can't Wait for Instruments of Christ. It's always a blessing to hear you sing and lead us in worship. That's exciting. And you know, it's getting close to summer. You know, it's close to summer because if you're in school, you know, school's almost done and you might go on some trips. You may be a part of our summer trip with the children's ministry we're going to go on. You may go on vacation with your family. But when you go on a trip, you usually pack some bags. Maybe your mom and dad pack some bags for you. So I want to ask you, if you're going to go on a trip and you're going to have a bag packed, what would two things be that you would really want to make sure are packed so you have on your trip? Yeah. You want to have your phone on your trip, all right? Yeah, you can. That's right. That's becoming more prevalent, absolutely. What else would you want on a trip?
Clothes.
Very, yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure. You want to go to the beach, so you want to make sure you have your beach stuff. I like that. What else? What would you take on a trip if you were to make sure you had two things you'd want to pack on a trip? You want to go to where a pool is, too. We're thinking about summer for sure. Absolutely. Those are good examples of what you'd want to bring on a trip. And I brought a few things as well. Some people like to read, so I brought a book. Might want to read. If it's a long trip, you maybe read on the way, or maybe when you're there, people love to relax and read. This is a little football, but you might bring a big football because you like to throw football. I know I like to do that when I'm on a trip. You might bring a little suitcase, so you have little things along the way. You might put little clothes in there for the beach, like a beach bag or things like that. That kind of represents that. And I also have my phone, because, yeah, I don't want to leave without it. That's how I make calls and people talk to me. And it also has a GPS on it, so it can tell me how to get to where I'm going. But one time I followed it a little too close. I was following another person who was helping lead a group, and we were taking him to Brooklyn to stay for a mission trip for a week in the summer. We're going through New York City, and the GPS told us the wrong way to go. So we had a two-hour detour in New York City because we were following the GPS instead of making sure we had the directions ahead of time. And so we can't always trust what the GPS says, but we can trust the directions that Jesus Christ gives us. Because just like a GPS would give us directions for a trip, and we'd want to pack to make sure we're prepared for a trip, we want to make sure we're prepared as Christians and are led in the right direction as Christians, and the best place to look is in the Bible for that. So in John 14, we read what Jesus is saying, making sure that we listen to him always because he gives us the best instructions, perfect instructions, so we're never led the wrong way. John 14, listen to the first six verses, especially the last verse, and I'll read that one twice so you can hear it again. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that you are where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And here's the key verse. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Listen to that one more time. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So we need to make sure we always pay extra special attention to what Jesus says and how he teaches us in the Bible so we can be prepared and instructed to live a Christian life like we're supposed to. Just like we prepare for a trip, we need to prepare all the more for living like a Christian is supposed to do. And the best way is to always listen to Jesus, like this verse says, because he's the only way we can live and can know how to make sure that we please God. Okay? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for all the children that are sitting here sharing in song with us and sharing in a time of worship with us this morning. God, teach us to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, because we know he always leads us in the right way to live for you. Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Instruments of Christ. My apologies to the ushers. I still haven't got used to that song being in that place. 616, Trust, Try, and Prove Me. Let's all stand.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, all your mighty talents, time and love. Consecrate them all upon the altar, while your Savior from above speaks sweetly. Trust me, try me. Prove me, says the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, a measured blessing,
you may be seated. Again, Angel Choir and Instruments of Christ, you have blessed us this morning, and we're excited about how you will bless us this evening. We want to be praying for your efforts in that meeting tonight as we come together to worship. Let me invite you to open the bulletin to our prayer concerns and share with you some updates to that prayer concern. I know we have had several to have different issues. Frank Fasci had surgery this week, and we want to keep Frank in our prayers. He is recuperating now at home. You see Carol. Carol is with us. She has had a difficult week this week with kidney stones, and Rebecca Gaines has had a difficult week trying to figure out all that's going on in her world. I want to keep both of them in our prayers. Thank you for remembering Lunette, as she's one eye down and one eye to go. We just thank God we didn't have four eyes, you know. There's some blessings in all of this. But she has done very well with the first part of that surgery, and we appreciate your prayer and concern for her. And then you see the name also on our prayer list, Lenore Seagroves. Lenore is going to be going for a biopsy this Tuesday, I believe it is. We want to keep her in our prayers in a very, very special way. Another name on our list is that of Scott Wisnett, that Melissa is your brother, and we have found this week that he has colon cancer. We want to keep him in our prayers in a very special way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it would be a good investment of our time to mention each name and each need, and lift them very specifically to you in prayer. And may that be part of our divine assignment this week. Maybe not everyone on this list, but as many as you would lead us on this list, to let them know we're praying for them, that we care about them, that we are concerned for them, and we lift them to your care knowing that's the best place. And Lord, today as we worship, we are grateful for your generosity to us. You are so generous. Help us to be aware of how you bless us, of how you love us, of how generous you are to us each and every day. And as we worship you, O God, we pray that you might indeed live within us as instruments of Christ, reminded us that you are our friend and we are your temple. And may we worship you every day, in every circumstance, in every situation. In Christ's name we ask. Thank you, choir. What a beautiful day. There's a truth. One day, the Lord's going to come. One day, the Lord's going to return. It was wonderful to see a crowd. I think if I counted correctly, when we gathered for prayer, 28, and there may have been some more that showed up of our young people that came. There's an area now for you to go outside by our garden and pray. You might want to bring some bug spray if you choose to do that this time of year. But there will be opportunities to go out there and to spend some time in the beauty of that place. And there was a lot of hard work. It was good to see everyone working together. And when you see Randy Keck, if he seems smarter than he did before, it's because I knocked some sense into him yesterday. I accidentally hit him with a timber in the head. And I don't see him in the worship center right now. I'm a little concerned about that. I didn't hit him that hard. But we had a good time. It's good to see Alice in worship with us today. She has moved to Beaufort. And last Sunday attended a church that I had the privilege to be the pastor of some years ago. And we hope to see more of her now that she's back in North Carolina. Last week we talked about stewardship and we looked at chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Today we're going to look at chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to read the first 15 verses. It's an interesting letter, and Paul, as he's writing, he's now writing to the church at Corinth, which is a wealthy church. This is a church of financial means. And he writes about the churches from the Macedonia area, which were churches that did not have so much. But he challenges them. And he challenges us, no, probably better, the Holy Spirit challenges us to examine today in the last part of our lesson, generosity. So we'll read the first 15 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're able to stand, I'd invite you to do so as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of partaking in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Powerful statement. "And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what a person does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at this present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that as I bring this message, to a generous people. I thank you for the generosity of Flat Springs Baptist Church throughout the years and even to this very day. And I pray, God, that as we think of what it is to be a disciple of yours and what it is to be your church, that we might never grow weary in doing well, that we might always be a cheerful giver of our time, our money, our energy, our effort, that we might be generous, especially in sharing your grace with others. And we ask this prayer as we reflect on these thoughts in Christ's name. Thank you. You may be seated. The greatest gift that we have to give is the grace of God. I think that it is significant that probably one of the most favorite hymns of the faith, we sometimes call it the Baptist National Anthem, is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. For each one who has had that power of transformation in our life, we understand that God's grace is genuinely significant and sufficient for all of our needs. How we do that matters. I don't think anyone wants to be known as a miser or a tightwad, as I mentioned on Wednesday night. No one likes or excels to that title, except for a couple of comedians that I remember. We all would like to be seen as generous, especially with our family, to be a generous member of the family. We think of folks in our community that we know as generous people. We also know some that we remember in a different way. I want us to be aware that Paul is right when he says that when we give generously, it demonstrates our love for God and His grace. This morning, for just a moment or two, let us look at a couple of ways that can happen. The first is, generosity is our grace placed in action. He says in verse 1, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. What they did communicated God's grace. How do we put our faith into action? How do we communicate God's love? Through generosity. We are always communicating something, aren't we? Tone and eye contact, body language and words, they all combined to communicate today. Sometimes you may say something with your words, but your eyes say something different. You may say the right thing, but then not really understand all the ramifications. In fact, I'm convinced that words alone are not always enough. Maybe there's not enough time, or maybe we didn't say it as well as we should have said it, or maybe we had to say it so quickly that it wasn't really comprehended. I love the story Carl Hurley tells. He said one day he was out on an old farm road way, way back and probably driving faster than he should on that farm road when all of a sudden, and to his surprise, he met someone coming the other way. And noticed that they swerved their car over into his side. And just at the last moment, swerved back. And hollered from their open window to his open window as loud as she could, "Hog!" Made him mad. He stuck his head out the window, looked back at her, and hollered as loud as he could, "Pig!" Turned around and looked, and there was a hog standing in the road in front of him. That's all she had time to say. And he misjudged her. You ever misjudge somebody? You ever got part of the truth? Or maybe today you're here and there's something in your walk with God that's not exactly right. You can't quite put your finger on it. But you know something. Something's not quite right. Maybe it's generosity. I want us to know and be aware generosity can be manipulated itself. It's not always what it seems. There's a story out of Miami, Florida, years and years ago, about six royal palm trees that had been vandalized along Miami's Flagler Street, famous street in Miami. And due to the expense of replacing those particular trees, Dade County said they weren't sure how quick they could do it. But then a generous donation of six new trees came. Not only were they donated, but the giver said they would go ahead and plant the trees. The former trees had been 15 feet tall, and they formed a beautiful foreground of the Fly Delta billboard. In fact, Delta had chosen that spot because of those beautiful palm trees. But the new trees were 35 feet tall, and they totally hid the billboard. And the trees were donated by Eastern Airlines. Now, you go figure. Wasn't that generous? Not really. You see, we can manipulate how we give to God, can't we? We can give for the wrong reason, the wrong way. We can give for the praise of people. We can give of our time, our energy, our money, anything to God. But generosity, it's understood. I love what Paul teaches us about this action, is that circumstances don't define the Christian. Grace does. The church in Macedonia had asked to participate in the offering. It was as though there was this idea, we know how tough they have it, let's don't mention the offering to them. We'll just skip them because we know they're having about as tough a time as the people in Jerusalem that we're collecting the offering for. Let's just not mention it to them. And it says, though, that begging them in verse 3 for the favor of participating in the relief of the saints. Oh, a generous spirit. We understand a generous spirit. Grace in action, it always communicates more than anything else. My dad always shared a poem. I've shared it with you before. I would invite you and encourage you to bear with me and hear it again. But it speaks right to what I think God would be talking to us about today. The poem is, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely point the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example, it's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can catch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. For I see an act of kindness, and I'm eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a stronger stays behind, just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to be as big and thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all the travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one that tells them, but the one that shows the way. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. I wonder today, I wonder about my life, and maybe you're wondering about your life. Are we generously showing the way? Are we practicing what we preach? Are we telling others that not only am I a member at Flat Springs Baptist Church, a Christian church, but I'm a Christian, and I live by the Christian creed? You see, that's what's most important. Generosity is in action, but it's also when giving is applied. I've got a word for you. I don't have to preach a lot of stewardship sermons. No one does. We don't have to have a lot of lessons on stewardship, because just to take that apart and begin to deal with that technical part of how much to give or when to give or where to give, I don't know. It just seems wrong. But when our heart belongs to God, when we're sold out and God is first in our life and we have the priority thing, we have taken Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." When we're there, when we've gotten ourselves to that place, we don't have to talk a lot about. Well, a good illustration, Mother Teresa. Some of our young folks would just have known about her, but my generation and a couple of generations below me even remember her and know what a testimony she gave her life to help the poor in India. She had an opportunity as she had become quite a famous teacher and example to visit Australia. And there was a new recruit to the Franciscan order in Australia. And this gentleman thought, "I have the privilege of being with Mother Teresa, and I'm going to get to pick her brain. I'm going to get to listen to her as I drive her from place to place. I'm going to be able to ask her questions, and I'm going to learn from this wonderful woman." He was thrilled, but it didn't work out that way. It seemed that all during the time, he was so busy taking care of the needs that she and others had that he never got to speak to her until finally, in the last minutes, he was driving her back to the airport. And then he said, "Mother Teresa, if I pay my own fare to New Guinea, can I sit next to you on the plane so I can talk to you and learn from you?" Mother Teresa looked at him and said, "You have enough money to pay for airfare to New Guinea?" She asked. "Oh, yes," he replied. "Then give that money to the poor," she said, "and you'll learn more than anything I can teach you." You see, talking about it is not like doing it. I remember when Charles Howard, who established the Howard Fund at Campbell University and has helped hundreds, if not probably more like thousands, of young ministerial types get through school. He preached his last message at East Irwin Baptist Church, where I was the pastor. I think I told the Wednesday night crowd I had that on VCR. Doesn't that do me a lot of good? I had it recorded, and it's on a VCR. But this was a man whose generosity was so real. It never sounded pretentious when he would talk about what he had done. And he never did it out of any sense of bragging, but always out of an understanding that God had granted him everything, and he was doing his best to be a good steward with what God had given him. And I've always used him as a test when folks say, "Well, how much should you give?" Because in that last sermon, Dr. Howard said, the first tenth was sweet, but not nearly as sweet as the second tenth that he gave. And he said, in the second tithe, it's not nearly as sweet as the third tithe. And the third tithe doesn't compare to the fourth tithe. You see where he was going with this? Of a man who had sold out and understood that what he had wasn't about who he was. And it wasn't how much he could accumulate between now and the day he breathed his last breath. But it was how much he could take what God put through his hands and use it for the kingdom of God. He applied. He applied what he believed. Giving to God is different than giving to a cause. It's even different than giving to the church. When we give to God, we're giving because God loves us so much. God's love for us is so powerful. Can you imagine having a friend that every time you got ready to go off with that friend, he'd say, "I got an idea, you drive and you buy the gas." And every time you stopped to eat, he said, "I got an idea, you pick up the tab." And every time you had to go in and pay to get in, he'd say, "I got an idea, you pay to get us in." That wouldn't be a friend you'd like to. We had a name for that in my generation. You know what we call that person? A freeloader. You ever heard that term, freeloader? My prayer would be that no one would put on his epitaph, on my epitaph, that he was a freeloader in his faith. He was a freeloader with his time. He was a freeloader with his money. He was a freeloader when it came to sharing his faith. He was a freeloader when it came to sharing the grace of the Lord who saved him. Generosity not only is in action and applied, it's also genuinely accepted. The highlight of this passage is found in verses 8 and 9. I like what Paul says when he says, I say this not as a command, but to prove the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, I remember the old song we sang, he left the splendors of heaven, knowing the agony, was a lonely hill called Golgotha. He was rich, and for your sake and for my sake, yet for your sake, Paul says, he became poor, so that you by Christ's poverty, by Christ becoming poor, that we might have the riches of eternity. Christ is our example. He's the example of generosity. I'm not it. No one else could ever do it for us. I wonder today, I was reading just some blips this week, and there was no author to this, but he asked the question, are you a half Cheerio Christian? A half Cheerio Christian. Here's what he says. My dad was a preacher at a small church in northwest Indiana. Sometimes he would take me and my little brother Steve to the Thursday morning Bible study. George, an elderly gentleman there, would always split his donut with my little brother. One Sunday, my brother came to church with a sandwich bag full of Cheerios. George leaned over and asked Stevie if he could have some. My brother reached into his bag, pulled out a Cheerio, and split it in half, and gave George half a Cheerio. Then he asked this question, is that our view of generosity to God? Are we a half Cheerio kind of Christian? I don't think people will come to the end of their life and say, boy, I wished I had watched more TV. But God help us. God help us that each and every one is our choir saying, it's a beautiful day. Today's a beautiful day for him to come again. And if before we open those doors, the Lord splits the skies and returns to call his church home, and we're counted in that number, I don't want to be a half Cheerio Christian. I don't want to be one who said, Lord, you pay for it. You take care of it. You handle it. You do for me. You do for me. You do for me. Lord, I'm sick. I'm praying to you. You help me. God, I'm in trouble. You come help me. Oh, isn't it easy to get caught in that lifestyle? Generosity of God's grace. Isn't it amazing? God's grace. Isn't it a sweet sound that saved a wretch like you and me? We who once were lost. And when that sky splits, it would have been a bad day. But now we're found. We're blind. But now we see. I wonder what we'll be begging God at the end of this worship, like the Macedonian church did, to participate in the relief of the saints. I wonder what we'll be begging God today that we might be able to do for the kingdom of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day, for your love that changed everything and changes everything in our life. And Lord, may I rise up in the morning and ask, oh God, thank you for not only keeping me through the night and giving me the opportunity of this day to live, but God, what can I do for you? How can I bless you? Who can I share your grace with? Who can I share your love with? How can I take all of those things that in 1,000 years won't amount to a hill of beans and use them for your glory? For in 1,000 years, I'll be in your divine presence. Oh God, help me see the long haul and live generously, even as my Lord and Savior took off the royal robes of heaven and put on the flesh of a little baby boy in Bethlehem and grew and carried your message faithfully all the way to Calvary so that Gary McCullough could have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. Oh Lord, that's a debt I'll never be able to repay. But help me rise up each day with the strong will to do all I can to say thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 606. 606. I gave my life for thee. Oh, what a hymn. What a question. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some public decision, we want to invite you, challenge you, and encourage you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave this place today, with our heart as honest as we can with God, say, God, help me to be generous in all you've blessed me with as we stand together. I can hardly wait to see every one of you back tonight at 7 o'clock as we will be sharing with our children and the hard work they've done to present their spring ministry program to us. And I know you'll want to come and be a part of that. Then next Sunday morning, after you've been in your class for just a few moments, you're going to gather here as we're going to have the wrap-up for this series of lessons where we've been tying worship and Sunday school together. I want to thank you for all your willingness to be a part of that. and for the faithful way you have supported that with your attendance. It has been a blessing, and more than I can tell you. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's generous peace, and in His generous presence, and in His generous power, that we might indeed be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place, and may we be instruments of Your grace to all You will put in our path this week, in Christ's name.